Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we're going to talk about hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is an attempt by an individual or a group of individuals to portray himself or themselves as something that he or they are not. Hypocrisy is effective because men judge based on the outward appearance and not on the heart. So if men can project an acceptable image, and others are inclined to accept this image at face value, then they can get away with their hypocrisy. Now, if others begin to suspect that there's something, you know, very different behind the face of the hypocrite, well, then the hypocrite can use fear and intimidation to keep the wary viewers from looking behind his image to see if their suspicions are right. The hypocrite can also lie or transfer the blame or threaten others to protect himself from discovery. So today we're going to study hypocrisy. We're going to study the hypocrisy in the Pharisees, and the reason is twofold. First, if you are a hypocrite, you must know that you aren't fooling God, and you need to be sure that your sin will find you out. Hypocrites can only get away with their hypocrisy so long. And you can pull the ruse for a while and get away with it. But eventually you'll have to face God. And if you have to face God, he is going to bring it all into judgment. And everything you hope to gain by your hypocrisy suddenly will blow up in your face. So if you're a hypocrite, you need to understand God is not fooled because God looks on the heart. Second, if you aren't a hypocrite, but you're being fooled by a hypocrite, then you must be able to discern the hypocrisy and understand the true nature of a hypocrite so he doesn't hurt you or destroy you. So let's look at hypocrisy. Let's expose it today. Let's see it for what it is. And first of all, we want to notice this. Hypocrites are attractive on the outside. In other words, they can sell themselves. They can portray themselves in a way that people want to believe that they're good people. They are attractive on the outside. Matthew chapter 23, look at verse 25. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," watch it, "for you make clean the outside of the cup and platter." Then he says in verse 27, "Ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward." Verse 28, "Even so you also outwardly appear righteous unto men." Do you see that? So their hypocrisy portrays righteousness. Their hypocrisy portrays beauty. Their hypocrisy portrays cleanliness or holiness. And that hypocrisy is designed to make you think that the outward appearance is a true indication of the inward man. So they put a great deal of effort into their outward appearance. If they are religious hypocrites, they're clean looking and well dressed. If they are religious hypocrites, they do good works. Look at this. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 5, all their works they do for to be seen of men. Look at the clothing. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. So dress, the outward appearance, the dress is very important to them. In religious hypocrisy, it is common to see men dressed in robes and putting mitres and various other types of headwear on top of their heads in order for you to be awestruck, really, about the beauty of the material and the colors of those robes. Well-dressed, clean-looking, good works. A lot of times in hypocrisy, you find a great deal of humanitarian aid, a lot of effort put on dealing with human problems of food, of clothing, of shelter, of medicine, for instance. They have dignified titles. Matthew chapter 23, verse 7. They love greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Dignified titles can also include things like doctor or other dignified titles. Like, for instance, here in Matthew chapter 23, the Lord says, called, O man, your father upon earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. So they can go by the dignified title, Father. They have dignified titles. They do good works. They're clean-looking and well-dressed. Also, they sit prominently. Matthew chapter 23, verse 2, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Verse 6 says, and love the uppermost rooms at feast and the chief seats in the synagogues. And so oftentimes you'll find that they lift the pulpit high, or they may stand on a promenade, or they may come out onto a balcony, or they may sit in a throne, or they may sit in a very high and regal chair, or they may have others of lesser authority than themselves sitting next to them. All of this is to give them prominence in the seat. And in addition to all these things, generally speaking, they are particularly good orators. Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. In Romans chapter 16, which is the last chapter of the book of Romans, Paul identifies or helps you identify people you need to keep an eye out for. He says, they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 18 of Romans 16, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So religious hypocrites are going to be very careful to have well-worded speeches if their ability to speak in your language is inhibited somewhat because they don't know your language so well that you'll see them read off of a particular speech. They want to make sure that the words are just right. You'll find the same thing with politicians. They dress well. They display themselves in a very prominent fashion. They do good works. And they will tell you when they have designated money or approved funding for a bridge or some sort of a project that you need in your area, in their district, in their jurisdiction, for instance. They'll let you know when they're doing good things. And they have dignified titles. And they sit prominently. And they are particularly good orators and oftentimes have speech writers. Why? Because they want you to be awestruck by what you see, by what you hear, and by what comes into your mind that allows you to hold them in high regard and to be awestruck by the outward appearance, by what you see, not by what's really there. Okay? So hypocrites are attractive on the outside. The second thing that we see about hypocrites is that that while they are attractive on the outside, they are wicked on the inside. They are wicked on the inside. Matthew chapter 23, look at verse 25 again. This is where we started. Matthew chapter 23, and look at verse 25. The Bible says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." So hypocrites are wicked on the inside. They're full of extortion. That is, they misuse their authority to get money. In Matthew chapter 23, he says, you devour widows' houses for a pretense to make long prayer. All right, so full of extortion. In other words, now that they have access to a pulpit, now that they have access to a body of people, they can think of excuses and ways to cleverly get money out of people. That's extortion. That's wicked. They're full of excess. That is, they may take the vow of poverty. They may represent themselves to not have much, but on the inside, they hold a lot. They're full of uncleanness. And that is, they'll use any means to continue to do what they do, and those means are not going to be clean. Uncleanness, basically, in the Bible is unholiness. Anything that's contrary to the holiness of God. So that can amount to a lot of things. That can amount to sexual exploitation. That can amount to molestation. That can amount to impure motives. That can amount to impure conversation. I can remember a fishing guide that I used to fish with many years ago said he won't fish with a certain brand of professing Christian. He said I'd have these men on my boat, and they profess to be very religious, but I have these men on my boat, and he said, "You've never heard in all of your days, you've never heard men with such filthy mouths in all your life." And these men were priests. And he says, they speak worse than all the other customers that we have on the boat. Now, that may not be true of all, but it was true of those. And what's the problem? They're wicked on the inside when they were in an environment where they thought they could, quote-unquote, let their hair down and they didn't have to portray themselves in their hypocrisy. Then they kind of revealed what they really were, see? And this guy took offense to that. He said, man, it just drove him nuts. They're full of iniquity, which means, according to the Bible, that's sin. There's all kinds of wickedness inside of them. You know, there could be anger and malice and bitterness and hatred and pride and envy, and who knows what all's in there. He said they're also full of hypocrisy, which means that they're not true probably with each other as well as with other people. And according to Matthew chapter 21, verse 13, they're thieves. When Jesus Christ came into the temple and he saw those Pharisees in there, he said, "You've turned my Father's house into a den of thieves." You know, the interesting thing about it, they call that Palm Sunday and the time that the Lord went into the temple as something that happened on a Friday, but it's not that way. If you go in carefully, which we've done, and examine every day leading up to the crucifixion, you find that the crucifixion was on Wednesday. So 3 nights and 3 days later would be Saturday night, which is now Sunday morning. A Jewish day starts at 6 p.m. And so Christ rises on the first day of the week when he rises Saturday night after being in the grave a full 3 days and three nights. So the crucifixion happens on Wednesday, and working backwards, the cleansing of the temple takes place on the Sabbath day. And guess who is in there breaking the Sabbath after chasing after Jesus Christ all during his ministry and accusing him of breaking the Sabbath? The hypocrites are in there. And they are buying and they are selling, which you know from reading the Old Testament is absolutely unlawful. Nehemiah had to deal with it in his day, and it's absolutely unlawful. They were breaking the law, they were breaking the Sabbath, and they were using the opportunity to buy and sell for sacrifices and to make money on the sacrifices that they were selling. thieves. Thieves. They crucified Jesus Christ between two thieves. I'm going to tell you something. The people that belonged up there, the people for whom he died, were the hypocrites. Thieves. Not only that, they're liars. In John chapter 7, Jesus Christ caught them red-handed. John chapter 7, he said to them in verse 19, did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go you about to kill me? See, he caught them. And the people answered and said, thou hast a devil who goeth about to kill thee. You see that? Now, I want to tell you something. They are lying. You know how you know they're lying? Keep reading. Look at verse 25. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he of whom they seek to kill? And when you get to the end of the chapter down here in verse 45, the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees who had sent them out there to deal with Jesus Christ, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? They were going to bring him in there, and they were going to kill him. Which leads to this. They are murderers. Matthew chapter 23, verse 35, the Lord just went ahead and pinned on them. You know that they're the ones that eventually turned Jesus Christ over to Pilate. He just pinned on them. Every prophet that ever died in the Old Testament, he said that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Matthew 23:35. Murderers. You ever heard of anything called the Spanish Inquisition? Do you know about the 5 million Christians who were martyred by religious hypocrites? It's strange, isn't it? Very strange. Hypocrites are attractive on the outside, but hypocrites are very wicked on the inside. But now here's the third thing. Hypocrites resort to wicked means to maintain their hypocrisy. They use fear. John chapter 9, verse 22. They'll use any means, wicked means, to maintain their hypocrisy. John chapter 9, here's a blind man that was healed by the Lord Jesus Christ, first time he'd seen in all of his life. And his parents did not want to speak on his behalf because, in verse 22 of John chapter 9, the Bible says, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. So they used fear. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. So now they maintain their hypocrisy by scaring people, threatening them, fear. By disassociation is another means, or excommunication, I guess I should say. In John chapter 9, verse 34, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin, dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Here's the guy that just got healed. And they cast him out, excommunication. I'll tell you what, these guys are bad, very bad. They'll use name calling. In Mark chapter 3, verse 22, Jesus Christ is performing miracles, and they said he hath Beelzebub, and by the devil is how he cast out devils. Name calling. They called him a deceiver after he had been buried. They told Pilate, said, you need to put a watch over there so his disciples don't come and steal him. Because that deceiver said in 3 days he would rise again. Name calling. That's a great means of intimidation. Just raw intimidation is another one. John chapter 7 is where you are, or should be, nearby anyway. John chapter 7 in verse 47. What happened? Well, the officers were very impressed with how Jesus Christ spoke, and they just couldn't find a way to arrest him. So in John chapter 7, verse 47, then answered them the Pharisees, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people knoweth not that the law are accursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. Intimidation. Intimidation. They say, are you deceived also? Have any of the rulers of or of the Pharisees believed on him? Intimidation. And then misinformation. John chapter 7, verse 52. Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Misinformation. If you would go and search and check out Jonah, where he came from, he's a prophet of Galilee. What they said is not true. But why should you be surprised? Because Pharisees resort to outright lies to maintain their hypocrisy. In Acts chapter 24, when Paul has to answer for himself, okay, Tertullus, an orator, I told you, they have particularly good orators. An orator came to address Felix against Paul. And here's what he said in Acts chapter 24, verse 5. We have found this man a pestilent fellow, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. Every single thing that Tertullus said was an absolute, outright lie. Paul was not a pestilent fellow. He was not a mover of sedition. He was not a ringleader. He did not profane the temple. And they did not take to judge him according to their law. They were going to kill him. Everything in there was a lie. Hypocrites resort to wicked means to maintain their hypocrisy. You know, fear, excommunication, name-calling, intimidation, misinformation, lies, and myriad other means to keep you from exposing their hypocrisy and to keep you under their control. Do you not see this is the very thing that Hitler and his minister of enlightenment and propaganda used in Nazi Germany in order to keep them under his control? Same stuff. Whether it's in religion or it's in politics, it's the same thing. But notice this. Finally, while hypocrites are attractive on the outside, they are wicked on the inside and resort to wicked means to maintain their hypocrisy. Hypocrites can only keep up the lie so long before they're caught. Hypocrites can only keep up the lie so long before they're caught. John the Baptist was never fooled by hypocrites. When those Pharisees came to his baptism and he saw them there, immediately he knew them. He said, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees in Matthew chapter 3, verse 7, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. I'm telling you, he preached them under conviction. He said, now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Speaking to those Pharisees, he was talking to them about being the chaff and being burned with unquenchable fire, because he knew that they were a generation of vipers. He was not fooled by their hypocrisy or by their intimidation, by the fact that they imprisoned him, nothing. The blind man knew that he had no more reason to fear the Pharisees. In John chapter 9, when that blind man was giving answer for how he got healed, he says in verse 30, why, hearing is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. If any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Man, I love that answer. You know why? Because he realized, you know what? I don't have any reason at all to fear these Jews. Not anymore. Not anymore. He could, quote unquote, see through their hypocrisy. Pilate could see through their hypocrisy. He knew that the Pharisees' motive for killing Jesus was envy. Matthew 27:18. And you know something? You can see through their hypocrisy if you refuse to be intimidated by them, and if you're not afraid to stand up to them. Paul and John, I mean, Peter and John and those other disciples, they were not afraid. They said, we ought to obey God rather than you. I mean, really, when you think about it, eventually hypocrites wind up in hell. So Matthew chapter 23, Jesus Christ tells them when he's really getting after him, he says in verse 33, you serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? That's where hypocrites wind up. So they can only keep the lie going so long. And if you're not willing to, you know, be fooled by the hypocrisy, you don't get intimidated or become fearful of them when they try to put something on you. Why? Because of this. Because of this, God will take care of you. Listen, if you are a hypocrite, in other words, you turn this message on and you're hearing this and you know that you're a hypocrite, you are pretending to be something to your wife, pretending to be something to your family, pretending to be something to your church that you're not, you're a hypocrite. And in the end, you're just fooling yourself. So you might as well give up and be who you really are. You say, well, I'm afraid to be who I am. Yes, but in doing so, you have the best opportunity to humble yourself and get right with God. He cannot extend his mercy to you in the absence of truth. You need to turn from your hypocrisy. If, on the other hand, you're not a hypocrite, but you're being intimidated by a hypocrite, you know what? Quit worrying and start trusting God. Why? A hypocrite will destroy you, just like these hypocrites did. But the Lord will protect you, and the Lord will take care of you. Don't be fooled by hypocrites, whether they are religious, or whether they are political, or whether they are just your friend. Okay? Don't be fooled by their hypocrisy. They can't hurt you.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.